This is episode 100. Have you ever done anything 100 times? Okay, well, besides wake up, duh.
Ray Ray is fundamental, number one podcast from the get-go. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives. The last Buffy episode, did Spike survive? Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run, and their team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Curry and them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying the Spice Girls.
What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 100, recorded August the 7th, 2018, brought to you by RayRay.net. I'm your host, Ray Ray. Wow. Episode 100. See, I don't want to disrespect my guest on this one because she's super awesome and she was very gracious for her time. But I was suggested to go really, really big on episode 100, and I did not come through because of various situations and whatnot. But I'm telling you, episode 100, we have an awesome guest. She's from Bleacher Report. Her name is Meredith Minkow. She is super, super awesome. Big-time WNBA advocate, and of course, she was also behind the social media for the Minnesota Lynx and the Minnesota Timberwolves once upon a time. So yeah, we'll talk about all of that stuff with her. I do want to say that while we were recording this podcast, a solution came through. So if you didn't know a few days ago, the Las Vegas Aces had this horrendous plane problem. Plane delays, basically, because they don't fly charter. WNBA doesn't get to fly charter. They fly like everyone else, basically. And they ended up having a 25-hour delay, and it only left them a few hours to get ready for their game against the Washington Mystics. The Las Vegas Aces decided not to play, and the Mystics decided to stay around, of course, and, you know, just sign autographs for their fans because there was no game. The fans were refunded. They get a ticket of their own choosing for that season, I believe. And they lose some money because of a canceled game. And the result was that, it took a few days too, was that the Aces forfeit the game because they were in the area, and the Mystics get the win. Now, I don't think this is fair, because come on, it's not the Las Vegas Aces' fault that they had a 25-hour delay because of travel problems. That's not their fault. And to play after, you know, not being basically comfortable for the last 25 hours, I mean, you're jet-lagged and you're sleeping on chairs, basically. It's not comfortable. And these are people that take care of their bodies. They need to be in tip-top shape. And, you know, one wrong move can basically end a career. So they decided to skip the game. And I don't blame them for that at all. Now, the Mystics, I mean, it's not their fault either, obviously. Like, they lost some money. And, sure, like, it kind of sucks if they get their game rescheduled, right? So, I just don't think it's fair, though. I really don't think so. I wish they could have rescheduled the game somehow, and I totally understand that it's impossible, apparently. But, first of all, the WNBA, they need to get more help from the NBA. The NBA is, they have a $6 billion revenue. And they're supposed to be helping out the WNBA, who only get 20% of the revenue for the WNBA. That's all they get, while the NBA gets 50%, right? So I think that has to change. I also think that their travel has to change. They should start flying charter, really. But, you know, the NBA should really help them out, because the NBA is, like, really getting up there. The WNBA is about on the verge, I believe. So help them out, man. Help them out, NBA. It's just not going to be fair when the Aces, and I know they have to win games, right? They have to win games, but they're close to the ace spot for the playoffs. And imagine if they miss it by a game because of some travel problems. That's really, really going to suck. And of course, you guys will be like, well, they should have won one game early in the season. Yeah, you're probably right. But still, you know, you want every team to get a fair chance on every game. And I don't think that happened. So, but whatever, it's over. That's the result, and that's what we're going to get. So, once again, I have Meredith Minkow, Bleacher Report. We're going to talk about this travel problem, which we talked the day before. And we're also going to talk about her career in sports. She's one of the rising stars in sports media right now. Like, she's really, really awesome. Takes good photography, too. And we're going to talk about the NBA as well, and, you know, more of the WNBA, so... Before we get to that, I sound really tired. I'm sorry, guys. Before we get to that, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, as well as Stitcher, Google Play, Anchor, wherever you can find a podcast app, whatever. That's fine. But episode 100 is special to me, all right? I mean, I never thought I would record this many episodes, but here we are. But just remember that, you know, every episode of Very Fundamental is special. Alright? Just want to tell you that. And once again, our guest is very special, Meredith Minkow. Before we do that, promo, then interview. Go!
Hey, it's Sarah Spain from ESPN, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 100. We've done this many episodes. My guest. She does the social media for Bleacher Report, formerly for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx. One of the rising stars in sports today, sports media today. Meredith Minkow, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Wow. So it's a crazy time right now in sports. We know what's going on with LeBron James and the Lakers and some idiot in the White House. Like, it's just crazy, right? Like, what the heck? Like, we didn't worry about these kinds of things before, and now here we are. We have to worry about what this guy says, and it's just insane. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know what's going on.
Yeah, I feel the same way you do.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when they say stick to sports, stick to sports. We're trying, but...
I think it's kind of funny how that's, like, taken off now. Like, stick to sports and, like, shut up and dribble. Like, yesterday they announced that LeBron is, like, producing a show called Shut Up and Dribble, and kind of just how, like, all the athletes and people in media have, like, totally flipped the stick to sports narrative.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, actually. Yeah. And, you know, LeBron doing a very good job just, like, not even acknowledging this guy after what happened. So tell us how you got into this crazy business. Was this always the goal?
Not really. I kind of stumbled into it. I wasn't really an NBA fan until my freshman year of college. One of my friends introduced me to it, and I kind of fell in love with it. Like, I grew up in Chicago, so I watched, like, casually, but I got really into it in college, and then I got an internship with, like, a small startup. Didn't have anything to do with sports, doing social media. And then I decided that it'd be kind of cool to combine my two passions, like, photography and social media stuff and sports, and got an internship with the Wolves and the Lynx, and kind of started there, and then from there I just went to BR, so I haven't really been in sports that long, but
but
been enjoying it.
Yeah. And did it feel like you were walking on eggshells? Like, I know you did social media for both the Wolves and the Lynx, and I've talked to a few people who were doing that as well. Was it hard not to talk about the league during those times? Did you feel like you were walking on eggshells, or were you just, like, just doing your job and just going along with it?
I, at that time, when I was an intern there, I wasn't really kind of started using Twitter when I started at BR, so I didn't really have, like, a super hard time not talking about what was going on. I know that a lot of my coworkers did. Like, it's kind of funny when you work for a team and right. it's like free agency period. Like, you're really not allowed to talk about any of that stuff. But now that I'm not working for a team, I kind of like being able to say whatever I want about teams. And it's nice to have, like, an opinion and be able to just kind of say whatever you want and kind of be a fan. And I think working at Bleacher Report really, like, they really encourage people to be vocal on social media. So it's kind of cool to work in sports and still be able to talk about the league as, like, everyone else does.
And now you're doing Bleacher Report. So what exactly do you have to do for social media? Because tons of people think social media is easy. I can do your job, blah, 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 blah. Like, they don't think that you have a lot, you need to do a lot of jobs, basically, for social media for Bleacher Report, right?
Mm-hmm. We have a full team of, like, 7 to 10 people from the West Coast and the East Coast just on social programming, and then we have a social moments team that creates all the head slaps and quote cards that you see, and we're kind of on shift, so I work 10 Pacific time and breaking news and then cutting highlights and live tweeting games and watching a full slate of NBA basketball from 4 p.m. till 10 p.m. at night, and just, I guess, doing Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and just having fun with it. Yeah, it's definitely different than working for a team, but I'm really enjoying it.
Right. I've been on Twitter for 10 years. That's a really long time. But I know it's crazy. But I don't think I've seen the WNBA get a lot of traction like today. And ratings are up all around. And I feel like the league has been getting more respect. Have they turned the corner here, you think?
I definitely think they have. Mm-hmm. I haven't been on Twitter that long. But just to see the jump from even from last year to this year, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I just found more of WNBA Twitter this year, but I definitely see a lot of, like, NBA Twitter getting involved in WNBA games, and seems like people are really talking about it. I definitely think that the interest level is there. Mm-hmm. We've seen that this summer, but I definitely see a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You said you've seen a huge difference, too?
Yeah, because, like you mentioned, like, you know, a lot of NBA Twitter has been talking more about it. I've been more casually, like, I've been casually talking about it for the last few years, although it's kind of my fault that I didn't do that when I first started on Twitter, because I've always been a casual watcher of the league since the beginning. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I see a lot more people, like, even the ones that are, like, deep into NBA Twitter just talking about it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, like, presume that this is the case, because Twitter is just one small part of the world, right? So, But we did mention that the ratings are up as well, so I'm hoping that, like, there's a jump in interest all around the world about the WNBA.
Yeah, the ratings are up. I think the last time they did something like 30% and the All-Star game jumped a high amount. I mean, and, like, they're streaming the games on Twitter, and I talked to one of the guys who's in charge of that, and he said, like, those get a ton of views. More than, like, the MLS games that they put on Twitter, and I don't know, they're definitely, like, people want to watch, even with, like, the condensed season this year, like, everyone's paying attention, and people seem really excited about it. I mean, this is the most exciting the league has been in a while, so I think that helps a lot, but, I don't know, it's just because we live in a Twitter bubble, and you see whatever you put on your feed, but I don't know, it seems like people are getting more involved.
Right. And we used to think that it has to be a transcendent star to have to turn on the WNBA, but the depth of talent has been amazing this year, and maybe it's been amazing for the last few years. I think it's that helped turn around the league.
I think that helps an insane amount. I mean, there's really, like, every single team is exciting this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really only one team that, for sure, like, wasn't going to make the playoffs the favorite, but they have young talent, and they'll be fine down the road. But, like, just the standings right now, they're just insane. Like, I even last year, Seattle wasn't very good last year. I felt like the Lynx, like, being a Lynx fan, watching every game, like, I kind of knew how every game was going to turn out, and I felt like it was pretty predictable about who was going to win on a nightly basis, but
right.
This year, like, you really have no idea. It's basically, it's more, it feels more NBA in that, like, on any given night, any team can win because, like, up and down the roster, every single team has at least one superstar go-to player that can deliver when they need them to. Mm-hmm.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
We know about the travel troubles that the Las Vegas Aces had.
Yeah.
Will this help push for change in terms of traveling? Because they don't travel charter. Like,
yeah. I think that's, like, obviously that was an awful situation for them, and they're fighting for a playoff spot, so, I mean, we still don't know. The league hasn't decided or announced if that's them forfeiting is going to be an automatic loss or not, but just the statement they put out about how they look forward to discussing this in the next CBA and their next contract, I think that them taking the loss on that game kind of showed that they weren't just going to but they're going to stand up, and that's just another aspect of the contract that they're under that they need to take a look at. I don't really know how much they can do besides these condensed schedules, the back-to-backs, like, especially with these teams flying across the country, like, it just doesn't work. Obviously, they don't have enough money to charter flights. One flight on a private airline would cost as much as, like, someone's salary for the year, so that's not going to work, but I think there are other things that they can do, and the fact that they decided that they weren't going to play seems like them standing up to this crazy schedule that they have to play.
I just think it's kind of frustrating that the NBA...
Kind of Porsche.
Yeah, I'm frustrated that the NBA hasn't helped them as much. Like, the NBA mm-hmm. is what? Their revenue is, like, what, $6 billion or something like that? And they're not helping out the WNBA? I don't know, I think it's kind of crazy. So,
what would you want them to do when they're playing for?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's been talk about their salaries, that, you know, they need a better, what's that again, that term? But anyway, I know players get 50% of the revenue of the NBA.
Yeah.
WNBA is like, what, 20%, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? That needs to change. that's all it needs to change.
For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know, like I said, like, the NBA is, I know, helping fund the WNBA. Why can't they help them more in terms of, like, you know, travel and salaries? And again, they made $6 billion last year. So I'm just kind of like, what are they, come on, you know? Like, help them out here. So.
It's funny because they have a lot of say in, like, so with this canceled game, I think they're waiting on the NBA to make a decision because the NBA has to be a part of that. So if the NBA is part of that decision, you'd think that they could be more involved in the other stuff, like salary and stuff like that.
Exactly. I know you root for the Lynx. they're currently seventh. You're afraid of them dropping out?
Yeah. What?
Are you afraid of them dropping out of the race? There's still a couple weeks left.
No. Well, they're one game out of the eighth spot.
Yeah.
And their schedule, their, like, ending schedule is pretty tough. They played Seattle the other day, and then they played Chicago tonight, who, like, they're sneaky. And I don't know if than what Lynx fans are used to. Last year it was just open to watch every time. Every time they played it was exciting, and it looked like they were having fun. I love using, like, Lynx season as a way to, like, get over Timberwolves season. I was always so disappointing. but this year they're just, they're getting old and it's kind of catching up. But yeah, I think I saw something yesterday. If the playoffs started today, they would play the Mercury in the first round for that one game playoff. And everyone's just so, I mean, last year they got the double bye. It'd be very strange to see the Lynx in a one game playoff spot.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about like WNBA teams getting older. That sounds sort of disrespectful coming from me, so I don't want to say that. But you mentioned that sports wasn't your end game basically, but you're in it now, and you're you know, one of the rising stars in sports media.
Thank you.
So, what do you want to say to young girls and women trying to get into this? Because we know that women in this world, it's not exactly fun to live in, basically. I can't speak for experience, obviously. I'm a man. So, what do you want to say to them? Because I've talked to veterans in the sports media world, and even some young women that are just getting into this, and you know, it's tough. It's really tough. So what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a male-dominated industry, but I found that the community of women in sports are super supportive of each other. Every woman I've met in NBA Twitter or working for a team, just like support system. And it's really awesome. This girl I know is throwing a woman in sports happy hour tomorrow, in the Bay Area for all of us. And I think that's really awesome. My advice would probably be to like reach out if you're a woman trying to get into sports, reach out to, some of the women that are already in the field. They'd be more than, I'm sure, I mean, I can't speak for them, but probably be more than happy to mentor and give advice and, just help out another woman in a already male-dominated industry, just kind of give pointers and, I don't know, any way I can help, I'm always happy to. But yeah, I think the community of women in sports in general have all been, are all super supportive, so use that. It's tough, but I don't know, I see it making strides. At my company, we've hired a lot more women than when I started, and the emphasis on women's sports, covering women's sports, is going up, and everyone seems really supportive and interested. So it may look this way now, but definitely in the future, there's definitely going to be more women in the industry, and it's only getting better.
I hope so, because like it's just sad to see dudes behind Twitter egg profiles like just, you know, lambasting women, you know, and these same guys are probably saying, oh, I want a girlfriend who's into sports, and yet they're making fun of them and stuff like that, and it's like, it's frustrating, you know? And,
yeah,
I mean,
it's funny, it's stuff friends. That you, like, you get used to, like, even in the real world, like, this guy saying, like, oh, you're into sports, and then they quiz you on your sports knowledge, like, just, and then until someone, like, brings that, until another woman brings it up on Twitter, I'm like, oh, yeah, that happens to me all the time, I didn't even realize, because I'm just used to it by now.
That sucks, that you're used
That's
to
That's definitely going to change.
Yeah, I hope so, because, yeah, I don't really want to hear, like, some guy going, oh, yeah, if you're into sports, name the 1995 Minnesota Timberwolves starting lineup, and name all their favorite drinks. Yeah. Like
exactly. I think it's just, I don't know. It's funny because, like you said, guys always say they want a girlfriend that's into sports, but some of them seem kind of intimidated when women know more about sports than they do.
Yeah. It sucks, really. So, yeah, hopefully that changes. Mary,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and publicize all your work, social media, stuff like that. Advertise whatever you want.
Gosh.
Go ahead.
I don't have much to advertise. I guess you can follow me on Twitter if you want or not. It's MURRMINKS. Yeah, I guess I would advertise to watch the WNBA.
Ooh.
I have a platform to speak on it. Just watch a game and playoffs are coming up, and one game playoffs are guaranteed to be crazy and fun, and yeah. Tune into that.
Yeah, I just hate it when I see dudes go like, oh, it's day 84 without basketball. Dude, there's basketball on right now.
I get it, because it's definitely different. Like, I think what the WNBA is missing is like that drama factor that like people love about the NBA. But for pure basketball, it's definitely there. And yeah, they need more teams and more games, because there aren't as many, obviously, as many games as NBA. But yeah, on a nightly basis, if you just check the WNBA, but I think drama wise and stuff like that is only going to get better.
I guess having 5-game series in the finals is not enough for drama.
Yeah. I think teams are good enough now that they should get rid of the 1-game playoff series.
I kind of like that, actually. I kind of like that.
Really?
Yeah, I do. But only because also that, again, there's less games being played in general. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if they went on an 82-game season, God forbid, then sure. But, yeah,
hopefully in the future.
That's good. That sounds so tough already. Like, the NBA already has a hard enough time with 82 games in the season, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so.
All right, well, thanks again for doing this, and we'll have you back another time, I guess, maybe during the finals, something like that. Cool.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.